electric vehicles, blockchain, telemedicine. Discover the trends driving our economy and shaping the future in Charting Disruption. Experience it at chartingdisruption.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, April 29th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Whether you're a bad speller, you type too fast, or you think your thumbs are just too big for the tiny keyboards on your smartphone, chances are you rely on autocorrect to fix your typos. It's been a feature of our digital lives for over a decade. And you'd think after all that time and all those misspelled words and grammatical mistakes, it would be better at correcting our errors. Well, not so much. On today's show, our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern joins us with some insight on how autocorrect was made and why it still has so many flaws. That's after these headlines. A slew of tech earnings came out yesterday. Amazon reported its first quarterly loss since 2015. Sales growth slowed significantly in the first 3 months of the year as shoppers returned to brick-and-mortar stores and the company is dealing with higher costs and labor issues. Amazon posted 7% revenue growth in the first quarter, $116.4 billion, but overall it lost $3.8 billion. The company's results were also affected by its 18% stake in the electric vehicle maker Rivian, which has seen its stock plunge by 65% this year. Other tech giants posted stronger results. Apple posted one of the best quarters in its 46-year history. Revenue exceeded $97 billion, up 9% from the same time last year, and much higher than analysts had expected. Sales of the iPhone rose 5% from a year earlier, helped by stronger demand in China. CEO Tim Cook said the company benefited from its ability to navigate supply chain challenges that have weighed on others in the tech industry. Twitter reported a rise in revenue and users as it prepares to be acquired by Elon Musk. First quarter revenue was up 16% from a year earlier. Ad revenue in particular was up 23%, a contrast with some other social media platforms that have seen their ad sales hit by Apple's privacy changes. Meanwhile, Twitter's number of daily active users hit 229 million, up from just under 215 million in the previous quarter. All of this may mean little, though, since Musk is expected to make changes to Twitter's business once the $44 billion deal is finalized. Comcast says its streaming service Peacock saw a 40% jump in subscribers last quarter. The company's CEO says Peacock now has more than 13 million paying customers and 28 million monthly active accounts. It's available to existing cable and broadband customers of Comcast and other providers free of charge. The company attributed the big increase to some major sporting events, like the Super Bowl and Beijing Winter Olympics. And it doesn't expect to see this kind of growth every quarter. But retail trading app Robinhood reported a 43% decline in revenue from a year ago. It's the company's fifth straight quarterly drop. Robinhood relies on trading volume for revenue, and while it signed up millions of new investors during the pandemic, it's lost 1.8 million of them since March 2021. Our markets reporter, Paul Vigna, says the company's business strategy depends on market excitement.
Retail trading is always going to be a very momentum-driven game. You're going to get people in on the promise of, you know, quick money and even maybe adventure, as opposed to sort of institutional trading, which is always going to be about, look, we have all this money and we need to put it somewhere, just put it somewhere safe and it'll earn us a return and whatever. The retail game is very, very different and it's going to be up and down like this. The challenge for Robinhood is going to be, how do you get through these, you know, slower times?
And we report exclusively that pharmacies at Walmart, CVS, and Walgreens have blocked or delayed ADHD prescriptions from new telehealth startups Done Health and Cerebral. That's according to pharmacies and people familiar with the issue. We previously covered those startups on this show and how some of the company's own employees felt they were making it too easy to get prescriptions for Adderall and other stimulants. Our digital health reporter Rolf Winkler has more.
Adderall is a Schedule II controlled substance, and prescriptions for controlled substance historically, Schedule II, are not something you can do via telehealth. That changed during the pandemic and the public health emergency. They made exceptions for that. And some startups, particularly addressing ADHD, thought this was an opportunity. And they are running into some issues with pharmacies who, in the wake of the opioid epidemic, are particularly on guard for controlled substances prescriptions.
Dunn declined to comment on the pharmacies blocking and delaying prescriptions. Cerebral says delayed prescriptions are an industry-wide problem. All right, coming up, why is the software that's supposed to make our writing better sometimes filling it with flubs? We'll discuss after the break.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. Knowing how to turn unpredictability into an advantage is where ADP comes in. ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions and help businesses of all sizes work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. ADP. Always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
You've almost certainly noticed that autocorrect doesn't always pick the words you intended to write. I mean, how often am I really talking about the ducks I give? We've been relying on autocorrect since even before we started typing on the glass screens of our smartphones 15 years ago. But sometimes it seems like autocorrect on iPhones has gotten worse over time. So, is there a way to make it better? The Wall Street Journal's senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern wanted to get to the bottom of how autocorrect works and why it makes the mistakes that it does. And she's with us now to tell us what she found. Hey, Joanna. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Zoe. Thanks for having me.
Joanna, you were looking specifically at the iPhone. On a basic level, I mean, we all have an idea of how it works. You type something wrong, it gets fixed automatically. But how does it really work?
Well, it's really complicated, is what I learned from this reporting, because there are so many things happening every time you type on the keyboard. And I guess I can say that there's a couple of things I can tell you about on a basic level. And then if you really, really, really want to know more about this, you can read a book about autocorrect, I guess. So at a basic level, when you type, there are algorithms that are trying to figure out what you mean. Not what you necessarily have typed, but what you may want to be saying. And so these algorithms and this whole system is looking at where your fingers land on the keyboard. They're looking at the other words in the sentences. They're looking at various dictionaries that are saved on the device to try to figure out what you meant to type.
How is it figuring that out? I mean, does it just have a list of words that exists within the software?
Yeah, so this was the most illuminating thing in my reporting, because I just figured, okay, the system has a list of words and it looks at those words and it looks at what you're typing and it's trying to figure those out. And that is kind of true, but there's a pretty elaborate system. And so I tracked down Ken Kashenda. He is the creator of the original iPhone's autocorrect system. So we can call him the father of the iPhone's autocorrect. And he explained a lot to me, but he really explained to me the idea of these two dictionaries he built. And the first is called the static dictionary. And this is built into iOS, and it contains really all the dictionary words and proper nouns, things like product names or sports teams or just words that have become popular over time and have become words, right? The word selfie is probably in there. And then there is another dictionary. And this is a dictionary that's really unique to you because you may use words that are not in that static dictionary. You may use words that are names that are not sort of typical names. Or you might use a term, I talk about this in my column at work, we use a system called NewsGrid, and that's not in the static dictionary. So as you type, this dynamic dictionary is supposed to learn these words. And the system also looks at things on your phone to learn those words. So it looks at your contacts, it looks at your emails, it looks at Safari pages, it looks at the apps you've installed.
How quickly is the autocorrect system learning what words you might use that aren't in their static dictionary?
That's a great question, and it's a little bit of a confusing one, because honestly, that's what prompted me to do this story. two things prompted me to do this story. One, I was just seeing in my messages more and more people complaining about autocorrect over the last couple of months. And two, I had an issue that just stuck around, and that has to do with that news grid word, right? I would type that word to my editor all the time, and it would constantly change to news girl, which made for some very funny conversations, because I would say, oh, well, did you put it in news girl? And that didn't sound appropriate. Anyway, that word and the typo of news girl stuck around a number of times. Now, Ken told me that in his system, if you typed that word two times, news grid, then the system should leave it alone and know that this is a word you intended to write. And Apple actually confirmed to me that that's still the way it is today, that if you type a word two times and it changes it and you go back and you write the word that you intended again, that if you do that two times, on the third time, the system should respect it. I didn't have that, but Apple said that it could have been because of the way I capitalized the word news grid. I've heard since publishing the story that others have said, hey, that doesn't work for me either. But that is sort of the learning rule that Apple and Ken confirmed for me.
Are there any words that maybe the autocorrect would refuse to learn even if you've tried to type it more than twice?
Yes, there are curse words or bad words, profanity, slurs, those kinds of things, which honestly, this is one of the best conversations I've had with somebody I've interviewed in a long time. When I first called Ken, I started asking him about some of the issues I've seen with autocorrect. And when I got to asking him about curse words, because sometimes my wife curses at me in text messages. No, it's not directed at me, but we tend to curse and it changes a certain F word to duck. And so I started talking to Ken about this. And the reason that happens is that when Ken was designing the system, Apple didn't want the system mistakenly correcting a word you maybe flubbed to a curse word, because that would be really bad, right? And the best example he gave was sort of, if you're typing to your grandma to thank her for your duck boots, well, you don't want that duck word to go to the curse word, right? So he designed this system, and Apple confirmed again that this is still the system.
Is there a way around this? I mean, say you want to train autocorrect to put in words that maybe are curse words or maybe are something else. Is there a way to do that?
Yeah, the answer is that there's not an easy way to do that. I mean, there is an easy way, but Apple doesn't make it obvious. And so one of the tips I give in this column is to go into your settings, go to Settings, General, Keyboard, Text Replacement. I have it memorized now. And there you can add terms that are really unique to you. So I added NewsGrid in there, right? And now every time I type NewsGrid, the system knows that that is what I mean. And it actually, in fact, will complete the word for me. And this is a way of sort of adding to your dynamic dictionary.
I mean, big picture, if autocorrect isn't everything we want it to be, should we stop using it? Should we go autocorrectless?
You definitely don't want to go autocorrectless, because I tried it for this column. I tried a full day with no autocorrect, and it was maddening. And maybe that just showed me how lazy I am of a typer, but I'm fine with that. I'm fine with autocorrect making these changes, but it means that we do have to deal with some of those more aggressive changes. And so what I wish would happen with autocorrect is more customization for us as users. What if we don't want those apostrophes? What if I just don't want you to change the word well to wheel ever? Why can't we have more customization? Also, why can't we have an easier way of just getting rid of that autocorrect? Just a way to say, hey, no, I didn't mean that autocorrect, instead of having to back up and retype the word. So I think there's more things they can do to give us control so we aren't so reliant on autocorrect.
I know, I'm certainly very reliant on autocorrect. All right, that's the WSJ's senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Thanks for breaking this down for us, Joanna.
It was good to duck and be here.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.